Hello and welcome to Pulse of the Region, brought to you by the Metro Hartford Alliance. The Metro Hartford Alliance is an investor-based economic development partnership focused on business development and growth, retaining jobs, attracting talent, ensuring a strong urban core, and promoting all the great things in our Hartford region. You can learn more about our mission and how to get involved at metrohartford.com. Thank you to our show sponsor, Oak Hill. Oak Hill believes that people with disabilities have the right and capability to be contributing, productive members of their communities. Building from that belief, they established a full-service organization to care for, educate, and advocate for disabled people, their families, and their communities. Learn more at oakhillct.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm your host, Kate Bauman, and today we're getting the pulse about manufacturing in Connecticut and the opportunities that our state provides in order to bring new manufacturing companies here and also for existing companies to expand here in the state and also in the Hartford region. We have three guests joining us today, which we are very excited about. First of all is the Director of Planning and Economic Development from the town of Manchester. Gary Anderson will be joining us. So Gary, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And second, from Cone Resnick, is the Office Managing Partner in the Manufacturing Distribution Industry, is Jeff Rossi. Jeff, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks, Kate. Glad to be here.
Great. And last but not least is my colleague from the Metro Hartford Alliance, our Chief Business Investment Officer, Gene Goddard. So, Gene, thanks for joining us.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning. And, Gene, thank you so much for being here to kind of share your insight with us. And, you know, as we look at our major key industries here in Connecticut, manufacturing is definitely one of our top industries. Can you start off by giving us some details about how this industry impacts our state, you know, and then also impacts the Hartford region?
Thanks, Kate. So being a numbers geek, I often look at how we compare industries with our in our state and our region with other locations. So when you look at manufacturing in Hartford and the state, so we have roughly 175,000 jobs in the state of Connecticut that are tied directly in manufacturing, and just over right around 72,000 jobs within the three counties that make up the Hartford region. They generate roughly $21 billion of economic activity, which is a huge amount of economic activity. But one of the neat things that about manufacturing within the state is that for every 1.5 jobs in manufacturing, it creates another 4 jobs throughout our economy. So it's not just the jobs that are tied to the manufacturing, it's the spin-off effects that they have further down throughout the entire state. So roughly about 11% of the state's economy is in, or total gross state product is tied into manufacturing. And when you compare us with some of our other states, Connecticut really is a leading location for manufacturing. We rank in the top 6 for the manufacturing value that's added to the products that we produce. When you look at some of the other studies, we're in the top of all states for a global position in manufacturing, in productivity, and in innovation. We rank really strong among our other partners, our peer states, and in the New England states in a number of other categories. So we see a strong future for manufacturing, even though we see some slowdowns right now, particularly in the aerospace side of things because of the COVID shutdown that's greatly impacted the aerospace industry. But overall, we continue to be a leading location in the country for high-end manufacturing.
That's great, Gene, and I always appreciate how you are a numbers nerd because I think it really tells the story from a factual perspective, you know, and, you know, certainly kind of just to reiterate some of those numbers, 175,000 jobs throughout the state, 72,000 in the Hartford region, and $21 billion of economic activity. These are huge numbers, and, you know, certainly, too, is, as you mentioned, a slowdown due to the pandemic, but we're also still seeing a lot of growth with manufacturers either expanding here in Connecticut, but also new manufacturers coming into the state. Can you talk about some of the trends that we are seeing and that you're anticipating in, you know, in the near future?
Well, being epicenter for manufacturing 4.0, which is kind of the next phase of manufacturing, we see a lot of trends in automation. We see a lot of trends in robotics, trends in artificial intelligence that are pushing manufacturing in our region faster than you've ever seen before. And that helps deal with some of the loss or the limited workforce that, you know, all parts of the country have, but we're innovating faster than other places are. So those trends are pushing us to see manufacturing growth. And we also have space. And when you look at the Northeast and locations for manufacturing growth, we have plots of land that you can build manufacturing on compared to a lot of other locations. And so you can build a 500,000 square foot building in our region compared to other parts of the Northeast, and it's easy to do. And our location being an 8-hour truck drive from $5 trillion of economic activity within eastern Canada and the northeast of the U.S., we're a great location to support manufacturing growth.
No, that's great. And certainly in the region, kind of one of our great manufacturing hubs is Manchester. So, Gary, would love for you to talk about the manufacturing sector in Manchester, where it currently stands, and then we can talk a little bit more about where you see for the future.
Sure. Great. Thank you very much. So it's interesting listening to Jeff. Manchester is actually really, we see it as a microcosm for the entire region and for the state. So, you know, demographically, if you look at Manchester, the demographics match up pretty well from what you're seeing in the state and in the region. So, you know, if you look for a town that represents our region, Manchester would be a good example. And obviously, manufacturing is a big piece of that. Just as a little history, Manchester has a long and proud history as a manufacturing center, and that goes all the way back to the 1800s. Manchester was actually home to the largest silk manufacturer in the country, which is Cheney Brothers Company. And if you're familiar with Manchester, you can come see a lot of those buildings are still standing. A lot of those mill buildings have been converted into multifamily apartments for the most part. But actually, one has been converted recently into one of the manufacturers that I'll maybe speak about later. So hang in there for that. But we've carried on that tradition proudly, Manchester has, over the years. And at this point, we're really a center of manufacturing for a couple industries in particular, although we have a lot of different types of manufacturing here. The aerospace industry actually, obviously, was mentioned before and has been hit by the COVID crisis pandemic. However, we have a lot of manufacturing happening every day still related to that industry, and I'm sure that industry will rebound at some point, hopefully in the near future. But we have aerospace component manufacturers here, several large ones, ACMT, Spartan Aerospace, Paradigm Precision, Timken Company. All of these places are producing parts for aerospace engines on a daily basis. We also have a lot of precision manufacturing related to the medical industry, medical devices. Flex is a company that I would name that's really been expanding recently. They do precision plastics for the medical industry, and they've been really going gangbusters the last few years, looking to increase their employment and their footprint here in Manchester and in the region. Hydrofera is another company that I've visited recently that manufactures medical sponges, which is really, really fascinating production. Yeah. As well. But it's not just precision manufacturing that we have here. I want to make that point as well. We also have things like commercial printing, which people don't necessarily think of as manufacturing, but certainly is. We have a company called Empire Industries that makes basically pipe fittings, pipe hangers, and ships those all throughout the country, all 50 states in Canada. They've been here in Connecticut for about 80 years. So there's all various different types of manufacturing here in the region, and we're proud of the ones that we have here in Manchester.
Oh, that's fantastic. And yes, I think what you touched on too is the impact on not only here in the state, but then also across the country, and I'm sure in some cases globally. You know, where I think sometimes I know I need to remind myself that, the small piece of plastic that may be produced in Manchester, what that's doing to drive industries around the world is just incredible.
Absolutely, yeah. If you go and see any of these facilities, it's really, really impressive to see the work that they do every day.
Definitely. No, and as you talk about kind of growth and all of the different types of industries within the manufacturing sector, is, you know, Jeff, is your team at CohnReznick has really kind of taken a deeper dive into, you know, why is it so beneficial for existing manufacturing companies to stay here in Connecticut, also expand here in Connecticut, and then why companies from outside of our state should look to potentially move here, Connecticut being a great option. So excited to share some of these findings. I think it, you know, really kind of may even dissuade some people's their initial assumptions. So excited to dive into this. But first, Jeff, I would love if you could provide an overview about CohnReznick and just your work within the manufacturing space.
So CohnReznick is one of the largest national advisory, assurance, and tax providers. We've got about 3,000 people coast to coast and 25 offices spread throughout the country. The manufacturing and distribution industry practice for the firm is one of our largest national practices and has been experiencing significant growth over the last 24 months. So we're glad to be part of this program today. Your question in regards to that Connecticut is one of the 10 worst states to do business in. You know, we always start with that word perception, and then obviously Sometimes perception is reality. So we dug a little bit deeper at CohnReznick with some scenarios, modeled out the effective tax rate, and took a company profile, certain levels of revenue, cost of goods sold, gross profit, and net income, put down some assumptions in regards to manufacturing facility footprint and headcount on the employees, and crunched the numbers. It was interesting to hear Gene crunch on his set of numbers there earlier. So I definitely give kudos to Gene for being in the data. What we found out is that, you know, Connecticut actually ranks 27th nationally for the non-farm employees on the manufacturing side. So that's actually very significant, and that tells part of the story to the strength to where Connecticut fits. When individuals think of the perception of the 10th worst, one of the 10 worst states to be in from a tax perspective, you know, you got two types of tax. You have federal tax and you have state tax, and those are the two largest buckets. And obviously, it transcends down to many other tax, sales tax, property tax, et cetera. You know, the federal tax is a level playing field amongst all the states, right? That's just a common denominator, and everybody pays their share, and that doesn't create any hardship to Connecticut being attractive or unattractive to manufacturers. When you look down at Connecticut's tax rate, well, there's a lot of states that have higher state-level corporate tax rates than Connecticut. You know, look to our neighbors between Boston and New York, and Connecticut would be the clear choice. There are some other, devil's always in the details, but there are some other states that actually tax inventory as personal property tax, such as Texas. And, you know, for manufacturers carrying substantial inventory, you know, that would be an additional cost, tax cost to do business in that particular state. So the devil's always in the details when it comes down to it. Our analysis showed on the net that Connecticut actually is not that harsh to manufacturers in regards to the tax burden, and that the perception isn't always reality.
Even looking to
Boston and New York, we're on average about 35% less on overall tax impact to corporations in the manufacturing sector.
Okay, no, that's great. And I think, you know, the numbers, about everyone's here, you know, and I mean this in a nice way, a numbers nerd, because it really, they do tell good stories for the states. And, you know, this is where something our team and Gene, you know, leading the pack, you know, reached out to CohnReznick to kind of ask you guys to help us tell what the true story is. So, Gene, I don't know if there's anything you want to add into, you know, some of us, Jeff's the data there, and just what that means from, you know, perspective of as we respond to, you know, for proposals, you know, from different corporations and different companies, is, you know, what are these numbers, you know, allowing us to do for the region?
Yeah, to build off of what Jeff said, part of what we had kind of work with CohnReznick, we wanted to look at how we compare against states that have, or regions that have similar manufacturers per manufacturing structures to ours, similar ecosystems, and locations that we compete against when companies are looking for a location to grow and expand. And five of those locations that we looked at, we compared Windsor, Connecticut, in our own region, because we needed to pick a town, Charlotte, North Carolina, Columbus, Ohio, Plano, Texas, and Tyson, Virginia. Those, again, are five relatively comparative locations based upon skill sets, manufacturing, ecosystems, and stuff like that. So when you compare those five locations, Charlotte, North Carolina came in with the lowest tax structure, but right behind it, not very far behind it, was Windsor, Connecticut. So we, and the worst, it was Plano, Texas. And you hear a lot of companies wanting to go to Plano, Texas because they say they have low tax structures. The difference there is they get you at the local level compared to other locations might have higher taxes at the state level. So all combined, you know, Plano, Texas was, or Windsor, Connecticut was 38% lower in total taxes than Plano, Texas. So it gives us a chance to change the narrative, as Jeff said, about the region and the state of Connecticut when we're trying to attract and grow companies here or keep the companies that we have here continuing to grow by helping them better understand the devils that are in the details. Now, these numbers are an apples-to-apples comparison, and they may be slightly different for those individual companies that are listening in today, but in the end, we can show them with a total tax rate and the triple net lease rates that you would have for a manufacturing building, were very, very competitive.
You know, Jeff, out of all the research that your team did, what would you say is, you know, kind of the thing that stood out the most to you, you know, when talking about the region and where does it position us as the strongest, you know, compared to other markets?
You know, Connecticut has that deep history and deep roots, as we're alluded to with some of the companies that have been in Connecticut for so long. By Gary, I think that the strength is the foundation, you know, outside of the numbers. It's the Connecticut can-do attitude and the workforce that we have.
Definitely. I love that, the can-do attitude. And, you know, I think in addition to kind of that can-do attitude is also, you know, and Gene touched on this very early off in the conversation, but is innovation. And really wanted to kind of take some of the next time to talk about is, you know, manufacturing in the companies, how are these companies shining in the space of innovation? Gene, I don't know if you want to start off with that, and then Gary would love for you to tell me about some of the innovation you're seeing in manufacturing.
Kind of like I mentioned before, we have, you know, our companies are using artificial intelligence. They're using machine learning. They're using all kinds of tools and techniques to be more innovative in manufacturing, using robotics. So when you compare our state, again, with other locations, we rank number fourth, according to a recent study for innovation in manufacturing and across sectors. That's pretty high. You know, that Yankee ingenuity that we know from, you know, history books or whatever, that our ability to identify a problem and then go out and find a solution. We're not the type of folks that just look at a problem and stare at it on the wall. We get in there, roll up our sleeves, and we find a way to move forward and provide a solution for our customers.
And Gary, I don't know if you could kind of add on to this and, you know, talk about what you're seeing in Manchester.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. So, you know, as speaking to this Yankee ingenuity, I guess we and the different types of manufacturers here we have in Manchester and in the region. First, I want to just get back to the numbers, and then I'll talk about a couple examples of folks that are really being innovative at this time. But we have about 3,200 people that are employed in manufacturing in Manchester, and that's about, you know, I think somebody mentioned 11% before. That's about 11% of our workforce here. So it's a significant amount of the number of jobs that we have in Manchester. We have 32 companies with over 20 employees, and we have 10 with over 100 that are manufacturing companies here. And, you know, just as a couple sort of anecdotes about the way that companies, we see companies innovating here. One is the Lidl Corporation, that's located here in Manchester. Their headquarters is here. In the Hartford Current the other day, a couple weeks ago, maybe you read about it, they have, the Lytle Corporation has produced filtration products for over 100 years, and they've been located here in Manchester for a long time. During the pandemic, they've really shifted, and they've been in a position to do that with at least one federal grant that I know of. But they've produced N95 quality masks and ventilators. That's part of what they've done for a long time. And they've really been able to ramp up their production here in New England. And as I mentioned, they're located here. Their corporate headquarters is here in Manchester. So although there's a lot of negatives to the current pandemic, obviously, it has been an opportunity for some industries, and Lytle certainly has been able to take advantage of that by innovating. I'd also mention our local breweries here actually is something that you might not think of as manufacturing. And, you know, 4 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago in Manchester, we didn't have any breweries. But, you know, now I'd put us out there as maybe the microbrew capital of Connecticut, if you want to
I like
give
that.
Us a
and
ribbon
I will not
for
argue
that. I'd at least think we're in the running for it. But we have four local breweries here. One is Illicit, which is part of the Eli's Restaurant Group, which is a really large larger Connecticut regional company. But then we have three local breweries here, Labyrinth Brewing, Urban Lodge, and Second Bridge Brewing. All of these breweries are producing products, and they've really had to shift during these COVID times as well. Due to social distancing and limits on the numbers of people that can, you know, visit these businesses, they've really had to shift on the fly. And as I mentioned, these are all pretty new businesses. Labyrinth is the one that I mentioned before that's actually in the Cheney District. So they're repurposing a building that was used for, you know, producing silk, 100 years ago. And here they are producing beer there now. But, you know, instead of focusing on customers coming in and, you know, sharing a drink and a chat with a friend or a group of people, these companies have really shifted to production, canning and bottling. Selling to restaurants and other facilities that can sell their beer secondhand. They've really had to rely on an online presence. So these are things that, you know, may not have been in their original business plan, but because they've been innovative and because they've been able to think on the fly, they've really been able to hang in there. I'd mention, you know, outdoor seating and outdoor dining as well. So, you know, the governor's executive orders included the increased ability for not only breweries but restaurants to have outdoor dining during this time. And the breweries here have really been able to take advantage of that, and we've been able to assist as much as we can here in Manchester. Obviously, it's getting a little colder now, but, you know, people love to be outside. And Urban Lodge, Labyrinth in particular, really had a great outdoor setup for the season that helped them, you know, hang in there. Second Bridge is looking at, you know, doubling their production in terms of barrels per day over the next year and really increasing that, you know, 4 or 5-fold over the next several years. So, you know, these are ways that all of these small companies here have really been able to kind of shift on the fly.
No, definitely, and doing some great things. And I think all of us are you know, willing to put on our winter coats just so we can go out and hang out at some of these great establishments. And appreciate you, Gary, you know, mentioning them within the manufacturing sector, because I think sometimes we don't consider them there and really the product that they're producing, you know, for each of us personally, but then also, you know, for our region on a whole.
Absolutely.
Certainly. And Jeff, would love to, you know, we've been talking about this innovation, and, you know, I don't like the word, but, you know, pivoting and what, you know, different companies have been doing. Is there anything else on your end that you've been seeing, you know, within that manufacturing industry of some trends on, you know, really success that's been coming out of the pandemic, you know, based on some of the changes that companies are making?
You know, I think the PPP, you know, Paycheck Protection Program has been, you know, a great source of relief and economic relief for a lot of companies, and that's, you know, manufacturing was deemed essential, so it kept you know, cash in the tills to keep the workers working and provide that economic support through the COVID times. You know, I think when I think of Connecticut, I think one of the things that you know, makes our region strong is the legislation and the legislative support. And I'm one that usually stays very, very far away from politics, so this won't be political in any nature. But, you know, we've appointed a chief manufacturing officer with Colin Cooper. You know, Colin and his background provides a tremendous amount of, you know, years of experience and insight to lead the charge as our chief manufacturing officer. You know, on Manufacturing Day, I got to co-present with Senator Chris Murphy, and, you know, to have that level of support for manufacturing here in Connecticut. You know, Ann Evans and her entire team over at the Department of Commerce. You know, so that's the legislation at that level. But then you break it down to, you know, the manufacturing associations and the level of support that they give the state of Connecticut in the manufacturing sector. We've got Manufacture Connecticut, we've got Eastern Advanced Manufacturing Association, you know, Small Manufacturers Association, and many others that just really provide the contingent of their members support through active programs just to keep everyone educated on what's happening and provide that that value and support to manufacturing in Connecticut. So it's great to be part of it. I mean, we've got anchors. We've got Electric Boat. We've got Pratt & Whitney. We've got Sikorsky. Obviously, Stanley Black & Decker. The entire Naugatuck Valley with the deep-drawn metal expertise that resides in that region of the state. We have manufacturers all the way up the capital stack, and we participate, you know, from privately family-owned businesses all the way through private equity-owned entities. And, you know, it's just great to see the level of support that comes to Connecticut manufacturers from so many different areas throughout the state.
No, definitely. And I appreciate you, Jeff, bringing up a lot of those collaborations and organizations that allow for education and also allow for ideas to be shared, you know, kind of in a great platform. So it's definitely kind of the support that our manufacturing companies, you know, hopefully, you know, feel there is a ton of support. And I think that's really, too, as we look at recruiting new companies to our region, is certainly another great benefit. And to wrap up the show today is, Gene, you know, I think we always keep hearing, especially now, kind of this saying that we're stronger together. And certainly when it comes to recruiting and also growing and maintaining our businesses, that's, you know, really spot on. And so what is the best way, in your opinion, for companies to kind of get involved with the continually to grow our manufacturing industry here, and then also, you know, not only for the manufacturers here, but also for recruiting new manufacturers?
Well, I think, you know, we need to change the paradigm and the narrative a little bit more about us, like you said, being together. We try to talk about the region and the strengths of the three counties that make up the Metropolitan Hartford MSA and the types of companies that are scattered throughout. But also we look through as the state as a whole. When you think of Connecticut and we compare ourselves to other locations in the United States or the locations around the world where companies are looking to grow and expand, we need to share our story or talk about our story as being one group, one entity. The economic, I mentioned earlier about GDP that's in manufacturing, but when you look at the state's GDP, we fall just behind Seattle, Miami, and San Jose, and just ahead of Detroit, Minneapolis, and Phoenix when you compare ourselves to those metropolitan areas. Because when you look about the size and population of our entire state, we kind of match up with those other regions. So companies are looking to locate themselves in a region or an area of economic activity. And we need to think about ourselves in a different way rather than an individual town or a community within the state of Connecticut. We need to look at, okay, what's the supply chain? What's the ecosystem that we have? And tell our story that way, and rather than being from Farmington or Avon or from
Manchester.
Another small, Manchester, sorry.
I promote you, Manchester.
I knew you wouldn't forget.
But you're from the Hartford MSA. You're from the state of Connecticut. So that companies are looking for something larger, something that they can be part of, where they know they're going to have workforce, they're going to have for their employees, they're going to have a place for a spouse or a trailing partner to work and come along with, where they're going to have capital investment of through sewer and water systems and other infrastructure or educational systems, where not one town has all of that a business needs. Our whole region has everything that they need, whether it's in Manchester or Farmington or down in Old Saybrook or up on the north end in Enfield. We have that ecosystem that supports those businesses. So what, you know, my dream is that one day everybody's business card says Hartford on it or Hartford MSA. Post office will deliver it to a zip code, but that way we can start building that narrative that Hartford is the epicenter for manufacturing 4.0.
No, definitely, and appreciate everyone being on the show today and really helping us share what that story is about our region and, you know, what all of our individual towns contribute to that. Thank you guys so much for being part of the conversation today.
Thanks very much, Kate.
Appreciate it. And for more information about today's show and the Metro Hartford Alliance, please visit metrohartford.com. We'd like to give a special thank you to our show sponsor, Oak Hill. And thanks to you for listening to the Pulse of the Region brought to you by the Metro Hartford Alliance. I'm Kate Bauman. Keep things positive and make today a good day.